They haven't got any Negro problem there. There's no Negroes there.
You know, I think so far we've come a long way. What do you think?
All right. First time in about 100 years.
That's right. Well, you know, I think no matter how many people we get together, no matter what we do, things just don't seem to turn out right unless we always start with "We Shall Overcome." So I think we should stop right here and sing "We Shall Overcome" before we go another step further. Let's everybody stand and join hands and sing "We Shall Overcome." Everybody.
Your dogs ain't hurting you, baby. But let's get up.
Yeah, baby.
You ain't above nobody else.
We shall overcome. We shall overcome. We shall overcome someday. Oh, deep in my heart, I walk hand in hand.
We'll walk hand in hand. We'll walk hand in hand. We'll walk hand in hand someday. Oh, deep in my heart, I do believe, oh, we shall.
Together now.
Black and white together. Black and white together. Black and white together. Oh, deep in my heart.
Today.
We are not afraid. We are not afraid. We are not afraid today. Oh, deep in my heart, I do believe.
God
is on our side. God is on our side. God is on our side today. Oh, deep in my heart, I do believe.
Sing off. All right, we get situated back here again. We're still going on. Next person I think we'd like to introduce to you. If you recall, I mentioned to you when it first came up that some of these people who've come from afar have, even though they're white, have been through very much the same things that we've been through, that we're going through now down here. A lot of us recall the execution of 6 million Jews. I don't know how long ago it was, but we know about it. We know that not too long ago they brought a man to trial who was partly responsible for this, named Adolf Eichmann. And see, they may not be executing us in masses like 6 million, but they're sure picking us off one by one every day.
Psychological death.
That's it. Now the man I want to introduce to you here, about 25 years ago, had to flee Hitler. All of us have heard of Hitler. And from there he went, from I think it is Germany or someplace, he went to Europe. And from Europe he came over to the States, and here he's made his home. He does quite a few things, from acting to singing and playing the guitar and so on. And just, I think we can, because he's Jewish and because, again, he had to flee Hitler's arm and so forth, we should know that he too has went through, like I said, very much the same things that we're going through here in the South today. So let us welcome Theodore Bakel.
Thank you. I'm glad you said what you said, because if you hadn't, I would have. And I think I'm going to say it anyhow, in perhaps slightly different words. I'm involved. I've been involved ever since the day I was born in everything that had to do with deprivation of rights, with name-calling and being on the end, on the other end of being called the names. I've been involved with second-class citizenship. I've been involved with the cause of justice, of freedom, and of equality, not in the sense in which the politicians use it. They use these words every day there in Washington or wherever they may make their big speeches. But I've been involved on the grassroots in the way in which it hurt. Now, it's true, there's no white man who knows, who can really know what it's like. Because there's no experience that equals that that you have. But having been born, as you heard, in a country and spent my young years, my childhood years, in a country where it was almost as vile to be called a Jew as it is now to be called a Negro in Mississippi or Alabama or Georgia, where I can remember the blows and the spittle on my face and the insults and the beatings, because a kid, and I was a kid in those days, doesn't forget these things. And with the first, about a month ago when I went down to Birmingham and Albany, with the first steel helmet that I saw, and the first rubber hose, and the first submachine gun in the streets, it was as if there had been no intervening period of time. No time had passed, and whether or not these people were wearing swastikas like Hitler's stormtroopers, they were all over again my enemies. And all over again, I was on the receiving end of the blows and of the insults. Well, you in those days, I guess, might have been called a Jew lover if you had happened to be in my company. I return doubly, triply, and tenfold the compliment by proudly being what they call me, a nigger lover. Now, they called me that on the air 3 days ago in Boston. Somebody called up in the middle of a broadcast and called me that name. And they didn't wipe it off the air. They left it on there. And I was glad that they did, because I want the people to hear these names and I want them to be shocked by it. You see, I have a long time ago learned that freedom is not something that is divisible or that is something that you can win, fight for, and then store away in a closet. You have to fight for it in every year and in every generation and in every country and among every people. It isn't something that you've gotten once and then you have it. Because every year somebody comes up, every now and again somebody else comes up to try and take it away from you. And I know, and that's why I'm here today, and that's why I shall be here every single time that I'm asked, and that's why I lend my time and my energy and my name and whatever else it is that I have to the cause, because I know, being an American citizen and proud to be one and glad to be one, but not blind to the faults, that I cannot ever be free until every single one of you is. Now, these freedom songs, there's a very strange thing about freedom songs. They resemble each other. You know, I sing in 19 languages. I was at one time going to become a professor of languages and got sidetracked. And love songs, for instance, are very different in every country because, you know, it's a question of temperament and a question of the foods they eat and all. But freedom songs are very similar because the underlying emotion that drives people to strive for freedom and to shake off shackles and a yoke and deprivation and hardship. That's the same in every country. And incidentally, people who have not known this deprivation and this hardship hardly ever sing. It's a curious fact. Now, I'd like to... I'm glad that we're in this county. I understand that one of the senators of Mississippi makes his home or hails from this county. Well, I have news for him. I'll be able to sing a song now, which was written by a young fellow whose ancestors were here when Eastland hadn't even arrived on these shores. And he's a young Indian, American Indian fellow, whose ancestors, of course, were on the reception committee of Senator Eastland's arrival when he came here by whatever means he came, by boat, I guess, or his great-great-grandfather. And he wrote a song that has, to me, a very spiritual value, because it speaks both of the faith that came out. We had I see that the leaflets have been passed around. There's a tune which, round about in the 1920s, I wasn't around then. You see, I'm falling in this predicament. I'm too old to be a student and to be young to be an old man. So, I'm in the movement. Oh, Jim has to say that because he's too old to be a student. they sang a song. Those among my people who were poor were very poor, and they were working in sweatshops and in all sorts of conditions that were subhuman, and where their bosses always told them to get lost whenever they needed another nickel to buy milk for the baby. And they sang a song which I've translated, and you have the words there. And it too, curiously enough, has to do with a hammer. Why is it that all of us have this preoccupation with hammers when we speak of freedom? I'll sing you one verse in the original language, and then we'll sing the ones in English, the way they go. Undo acchiaros, undo zeis, undo fiteros, undo meis, undo hammeros, undo spins, con mei focos du fardins. Clink-clang, clink-clang, listen to the hammer song. Clink-clang, clink-clang, what can for you? How is it going to be you? Brothers, you that plow and sow, you that feed and you that mow, wield your hammer night and day, tell me if your sweat is worth the pay. Clink-clang, clink-clang, listen to the hammer song. Boys, it won't be long. Who prepares your evening meal? And who cares what grief you feel? When you die, will someone mourn? To what purpose, tell me where you're born? Cling, clong, cling, clong. Listen to the hammer song. Cling, clong, cling, clong. We'll break the yoke. Boys, it won't be long. Sight. See your power, feel your might. Were it not for your strong hand, not a wheel could turn in all the land. Clink-clong, clink-clong, listen to the hammer song. Clink-clong, clink-clong, we'll break the yoke, but it won't be long. Clink-clong, clink-clong, listen to the hammer song. Clink-clong, clink-clong, we'll break the yoke, boys, it won't be long. Well, see, I have various side occupations. I have various main occupations, really, because I wear a lot of hats. Apart from being active in civil rights and in causes that one believes in order to be able to live, I sometimes sing songs and I sometimes act. And in my capacity as an actor, somebody reminded me today in the car. I don't know if this movie was shown in Mississippi. It would surprise me if it was. There was a movie called The Defiant Ones, which I played a sheriff in, because I believe that the movie should have been made, because it was about two prisoners, a white man and a black man, who were chained together and who managed to break away out of prison, hating each other's guts. And everybody who was after them said, don't worry, they're going to kill each other before they go 5 miles. And something symbolic, strange, happened in this film, as it happens in life. Because the white man and the black man are really chained together by the wrist. And the more, if they try to pull at this chain, all they're getting is chafed wrists. And curiously, when they got the chain off, they'd realized that it was there anyway, and that they were under an obligation, if they were decent men, to help and to recognize what brother means to brother. Now, I don't know if one can put it in such a simple fashion, but then all great ideas in the world have always been put in simple fashions. I've never heard long, involved words describing such a simple thing as freedom. We all know what a slave is, and we all know what a free man is. And there's no two definitions about it. There's no half freedoms around. There are no pointing to one student that happened to be let into a university and saying, well, what do you want? He can go in that place. Or one guy once ate at that restaurant in 1961, therefore it is not segregated anymore. There's no half freedom. It's either all or not at all. I read the Bible a lot. We talked about, you remember the Reverend Wade talked to you about Moses before? I know, this story doesn't seem to be widely known, but sometimes very righteous white people who go to church every week, a nice, clean, white church where nobody who's not of pure blood is let in, and that includes me, and they seem to skip over that little bit in the Bible. Moses married an Ethiopian woman who was black, and his sister Miriam berated him for it, and the Lord struck her with leprosy. And it didn't remove the disease until she apologized for having said harsh words to her brother. And that's that same Moses who led the people out of the wilderness. And if he can do it, we can do it. Because I'm a descendant of Moses and you're a descendant of his wife. I'd like to play you a tune. I brought a sort of a strange harp. Since Bobby played it, it whetted my appetite, and I wanted to do that too sometimes. Finally, I shall sing you a song in a language with which I was brought up, namely in Hebrew, and the words are straight from the Bible, and they say, and I can't think of a more fitting word to leave with you in this official part. I think we're going to sing until the cows come home, whenever that is. I've never found that out. And the phrase is, how good and pleasant it is when brethren dwell together in unity.
Inema domine mahato.
while Phil was singing, somebody in the back brought to my attention something that I don't think any of us have thought very much about. And that is that ever since there's been a Mississippi, not one time has there been a gathering like this where white and Negro people that come together, not just to be coming together and fight at each other, something like that, but, I mean, just coming together to talk about things and to sing together and act like ordinary human beings. You know, I think this is something. And, you know, if nothing else happens, I think that, you know, we can really make a big thing out of this. That every year, or maybe twice a year, we just have a big Delta Folk Festival. You see? Just have, I mean, you see, we can learn ourselves a lot of these songs that have been sung here today. Not just freedom songs, you see. I mean, all types of songs. See, a lot of us tend to misunderstand what folk songs are. But I think, and I think everybody needs to hear this too, that folk songs are not, well, they're not like rock and roll songs. You see, people who sing rock and roll songs sing the songs to make a lot of money, you see. People who are in the folk music business don't make a lot of money, you see. Folk songs, I think, they're like what we say the freedom songs are. We say the freedom songs are inner expressions of individuals, that it's something you feel here, and something that comes out then, there, wherever. They're created from situations. They tell stories, just like freedom songs. Freedom songs are folk songs. Freedom songs come from people, and this is what I think folk songs are comprised of. So I think that every year we should have a very large Delta Folk Festival and get people from all over the world, not just New York City and Chicago and places like that. I mean, people from Australia, some of the places that Theo is saying, and Pete and Bobby, from Australia and England, all over the world, to come over, and we share together here like this. Like I say, that the same thing that's happening here is happening over there, and I think we need to sort of swap freedom songs. They all mean the very same thing, really. So I think we need to give serious thought to this. Now, what I like to do is, and I'm going to put somebody in the trick here, is bring up John Lewis. John Lewis. John Lewis is the newly elected chairman of the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, and I'm sure we all know what that means. Like we're going out while John is coming up. You know, when you talk about presidents of organizations and chairmen and things like that, people tend to, when they picture the man, they think he's going to walk up in a tie with a white shirt on and a fine suit, a $100 suit. I want you to take a look at John. He's just like in the rest of us, you see. And I think this is a thing that makes up the movement. People, not a suit and a shiny pair of shoes, you see. But just ordinary people who are not looking for anything except the things that are already there, you see. So, I'd like for John to talk for a while. I don't know what he's going to talk about.
First of all, I'd like to say, I think it is very good for all of us to be here. To be here in the Delta. Be here in the heart of Mississippi. We're bringing freedom. We're all involved in this struggle for freedom, and we need to bring it here in the Delta. The other day we were saying that we are involved in a real revolution, and that you here, every one of you, are involved in a revolution. Make no difference whether we are in this part of Mississippi or in some other part, whether we be in the Black Belt of Alabama, or in the Southwest Georgia area, but we are involved in the same struggle. Whether we be in Harlem or in Detroit or any place in this nation or in this world, we are involved in a struggle for freedom. And all of you must feel that you are involved and you can do something about the cause and for the cause of freedom. Some of our dear sisters and brothers today are in jail someplace in the state. We are singing the songs of freedom. We must not fear that we are alone in the struggle, for people all over this nation and all over this world are concerned about our struggle, and we must keep on struggling. We must keep on having gatherings like this day by day, year by year, as Cardell suggested, This is the thing that is going to take to tear down the walls of segregation. And we must keep struggling and keep fighting until the wall of segregation is torn down. We can do it. We must make it plain and make it very clear that we want freedom now, not tomorrow, but right now. We must be able to say to the officials of this nation, we must be able, all of us, one way or the other, make no difference if we are here in the Delta, or we are in the Bright Belt of Alabama, or we are in Southwest Georgia. We must be able to say to Mr. Kennedy and say to Ross Barnett that we're going to stay right here in the Delta and fight for freedom until justice rolls down the rivers and lakes of Mississippi. We must say that. We must be willing as sisters and brothers, both black and white together. Whether we are farmers, whether we are maids, whether we are cooks, whether we are teachers, lawyers, or doctors, to march up the road to freedom together and make this nation, make Mississippi what Mississippi should be, the land of the free and the home of the brave. All right.
Now, we've had individual people up here singing, but what I'd like to see done right now is some of the local folk come up here. And let's just have a song session of people, well, sing, not only singing freedom songs, but even singing some of the old down-home hymns that we haven't sang in a long time. Let's just have a song session so we can get some of the old folk, too. Come on up here and lead us in some songs. Can we get some volunteers? To come on, let's just have a regular old-time song session. You see, we can't expect people to come down here and sing for us if we're not going to participate ourselves. All right, some of you local people, come on up here. Here you go. That's a girl. Hey, you from Haywood County. You can sing. Come on up here. Come on, come on. All you folks, come on, come on. Timothy Jenkins and Sam Block. All you people from down here.
Come on, Tim.
Lawyer Jenkins.
See, I don't sing, but I preach a little bit.
Come on, lawyer.
Come on,
Tim.
Now, we're not going to have this young lady up here by herself. Now, some of you other folks are going to come up here and sing. I mean, well, I'll tell you, when I just come out there and put my hand on somebody, if you're not going to volunteer.
Jimmy Travis.
Yeah, Jimmy Travis.
Jimmy Travis, the young man was shot here in Mississippi. Jimmy Travis, he's in Mississippi today, Greenwood.
Come on, Jimmy.
Jimmy Travis.
Come on, come on, folks. Yeah, Jesse Harris over here, Jesse Harris.
James Jones.
I sound black.
From Jackson. How are you, boy? Bobby King? Where's Bobby King?
There he's gone.
Been say he's gone. He's out there someplace.
Hey,
come on up, Pete. Pete Seeger. Yeah, come up and give us some news.
Jesse's going to do all this song leading here. Jesse has.
All right. All right. I'll be right behind you.
Jimmy Travis is going to do the song. Jimmy Travis.
Pull the mics out a little bit.
He's
bored,
Pete. Is Willie Peacock here?
Yeah.
Peacock. Yeah,
Timmy Jenkins. Come on, Tim. Come on.
Willie Peacock. Willie Peacock.
Come on. Timmy Jenkins going to lead us off in his song, Brother Block. Bro.
Tim Jenkins going to lead us
on one. Come on, Timmy Jenkins. Lead us on one of these.
What's this one, the Paul and Silas?
Go ahead, Tim.
They have a song that they sing in Southwest Georgia.
Yeah.
And it has a great significance for the people over there. And I'm sure it won't be without meaning for the people of the Deltas of Mississippi.
Yeah.
It starts off by talking about a biblical figure and comes on up into contemporary time.
Yeah, preach about it.
It starts first by talking about Paul and Silas.
Yeah.
But before it's finished, it starts talking about freedom.
Yeah.
It's not long after the words start opening up and people begin to recognize freedom. Yeah. And they're not just talking about the biblical times some long time ago.
Yeah.
But it's talking about freedom. And that's contemporary. There's a tendency for people to think about Paul and to think about Jonas and to think about the Hebrew children and to isolate that from the current times. But I want you to know that when they're talking about freedom, whether it involves a Paul, whether it involves a Moses, whether it involves a Jonas or the Hebrew children, they're talking about the contemporary. People have a way when it, you know, they talk about the Reconstruction and they paint out in history the 1860s and they close their minds and turn their backs on what's happening in the 1960s. Now, if you ask Barnett about giving an opportunity to the Negroes here in Mississippi, he would cite that opportunity that was given years ago. And he would say that it was abused then, so it would be abused now. But he would be mistaken, because he would not recognize what happened then.
No.
Just as he's unable to recognize what's happening now. He would tell you that the Negroes, when they had political power, did not have the intelligence to use it. But the fact of the matter is that the Negroes never had an independent political power here in Mississippi.
That's right.
From the beginning until the end of their political strength, they were manipulated and abused by a group of northern so-called radicals, and therefore they never really had freedom, although they had an election. Mm-hmm. What we have to do now, what we're in the process of doing, is constructing a second Reconstruction. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What we're in the process of doing some 100 years too late,
yeah,
is developing a new political change, a new revolution. We're founding a second Reconstruction. I want you to know that it's important. It's important for everybody here to recognize that the revolution that we all talk about doesn't exist in some abstract theory of time, but it exists only to the degree that we are prepared to make it manifest itself right here on the deltas of Mississippi. There's no need talking about freedom in the bluegrass of Kentucky or about the high heels of Tennessee unless you're prepared to recognize that it has to come to the bayous and the deltas as well. We've got a group of students, but they're not real power. The power is in the people. And to the degree that the people face up to their own power, then the white people will have to face up to their lack of power to take their freedom from them. That song that they sing is, Paul and Silas bound in jail, ain't had money for to pay their bail. But they come up with another refrain that comes all through the song. It says, keep your eye on the prize. And hold on. You know, Freedom Road is a mighty hard road. Sometimes it gets rough on the feet, but not on the soul. Keep your eye on the prize. Now, let's start it off, and we can make up the words as we go ahead, because the songs of freedom don't have one author. They're written by the people themselves on the spur of the moment. Or any voice can become eloquent just at the correct time. If he just thinks about freedom, something will speak to his mind and give him the words to sing about it. So now we'll start off with,
Paul and Silas were bound in jail, had no money or the belly. Keep your eyes on the prize. Hold on, hold on, hold on. Keep your eyes on the prize. Hold on, hold on,
I know.
Yeah.
Must be the bell on how Jim Crow.
Yeah.
Keep your eyes on the bright along. Oh,
the time to go.